Know Your Constituency, the RTE Radio 1 Guide to General Election 2024.
Hello and welcome to Know Your Constituency. This is the RTE Radio 1 podcast where we're profiling all 43 Doyle constituencies over 43 separate episodes, giving you the essential stats on each one, the seats, the seat holders, the soon-to-be former seat holders, and all the background and colour we can fit in between. I'm Rachel English. RTE Radio's Barry Lenehan is here again. He's a fixture in all 43 episodes. And we're also joined from Cork by Teresa Reedy, political scientist at University College Cork. So let's move on to the next one. And it's Clare. Barry, give us the essentials, the seats and the seat holders.
Yes, sticking with four seats here and standing their ground, we have Cathal Crowe of Fianna Fáil and Violet Ann Wynn, who was elected for Sinn Féin, but now stands as an independent. Two people elected the last time, independent Michael McNamara, now in Europe, and Joe Carey of Fine Gael, who resigned on medical grounds in September.
Teresa, on the map, it is in many ways simple enough, this constituency. It's the county of Clare with nothing added, pretty much nothing taken away and no changes under the boundary review.
Yes, absolutely. Clare is actually one of just seven constituencies that weren't changed in the 2023 boundary reviews. Now, it's been a fairly stable constituency over the last 30 or 40 years. There were some territory moved into Limerick City, but that was returned for the 2020 general election. And it has, broadly speaking, been a four-seater as well for several decades. It has a population of 127,000 and it's a part of the country that has been growing in its electorate has been increasing quite a bit.
This is it. This is one of my many obscure Clare statistics, but Ennis is now the largest town outside of Leinster, which when you say that to people always surprises them, but there you go, them's the facts. Teresa, how would you sum it up as a constituency? What are the big issues?
Well, we have been reading the same statistics to help us to sleep at night. It is in fact the sixth largest town in the country. And I think that's a very important point to make because people tend to think of Clare as a kind of largely rural place, but that picture is no longer fully the case. You know, Ennis is quite large, but it's also joined by Shannon, which has a very large industrial base. There's quite a lot of manufacturing that happens here. Some of the largest companies in the country are located in Clare. Abbott, Edwards, they're all pharma and medtech, analog devices. They're also there. So there's a large manufacturing base. Now, that, of course, is also combined with the more traditional picture of Clare. West Clare is a particularly rural place. It's one of the most beautiful parts of the country, but it is a place that is quite heavily dependent on, for example, tourism, and tourism hasn't been having a very easy time of late. First the pandemic, but the recovery has been quite quite tepid in those areas. So those are going to be issues on the agenda. But other parts of Clare, they reflect the wider picture. So people at the election are going to be concerned about things like childcare. It's expensive and scarce. Farming is a difficult occupation. And I think it's also worth saying that the hospital in Limerick is the major accident and emergency centre for Clare, as well as the kind of wider Midwest region. And we'd be very surprised if that doesn't feature very heavily in discussions.
I was thinking about this. It's more than 30 years since I worked in local radio in Clare. And the big issue back then was the hospital. And I think it's safe enough to say, Barry, that the big issue this time will be the hospital.
Big time. And I think someone said to me, a political figure, that a third of the constituency, not to cause any offence to you, Rachel, might be classified as suburbs to Limerick. So it will be a key issue. And the fact that that might be classified a third of suburbs to Limerick, that's a floating voter which will be easily perhaps swayed by the prevailing mood of the day. And the bigger we get into winter, the more this election is likely to be in winter, the more that hospital becomes the centre of things, the centre of political discourse once again, although there is no hospital candidate as such declared as of yet.
I know someone who describes Clare, you were talking about its different components, as that there are essentially two Clares, north of Ennis, holidays south of Ennis work. And there is an extent to which that is true. Just before we go any further, it's as good a time as any to give our usual health warning. And all of this, everything we're saying today, is at the time of recording and candidate nominations haven't yet closed. Barry will be updating us at a later date with anything significant. But with that in mind, Barry, will you bring us through the runners here?
Well, the political map is upended quite a bit here, that Michael McNamara, the independent, the first elected in 2020 with 12% of the vote, he is not on the pitch this time. So his seat, where will his vote go? One might have to start with Fianna Fáil. It took a seat here last time with Cathal Crowe. He's based in a thickly populated area of the constituency outside Carbally, taking in Westbury, Partín, a huge vote there. He's seeking re-election. One of his running mates, Timmy Dooley, of course, a three-term TD, and with 7,763 votes the last time, he had the highest number of votes nationwide without being elected. And my local sources tell me that Timmy Dooley is going at this hammer and tongs. He was in Kilmihill and Kildysert on the one day recently. He's going around with a Timmy Dooley caravan, I'm told. And there's a third candidate in the field as well, Rita McInerney, who's based out in Doonbeg. She, a serial vote getter herself out there, but talk locally that some people in West Clare have shifted camp and are joining the Timmy Dooley camp. So Timmy Dooley really throwing everything at this to try and regain a seat for Fianna Fáil in what is a party stronghold. And of course, he felt oh so close to taking a seat the last time.
Something very interesting here as well. As of now, as of this recording, Fine Gael only have one candidate, despite the fact that up until relatively recently, for a couple of stretches, they had two TDs.
Yes, and Fine Gael people locally are apoplectic about this. At the moment, it's the first time in 80 years that Fine Gael won't be running two candidates in this constituency. At the moment, they have Leonora Carey, who's the sister of Joe Carey, who obviously resigned and stepped away on health grounds. She was selected. She has served at the Fine Gael Executive Council for 10 years. Of course, their father, Donal Carey, a TD from 1982 to 2000, and two, he perhaps even wouldn't have lost the seat in 02, but for a botched strategy from the party at the time. But there is eyebrow raising within Fine Gael also. Joe Carey's office was open for a year whilst he was out sick on medical grounds, but it was closed on the 1st of September when he had departed. It hasn't stayed open under his sister's auspices, and that has perhaps caused a bit of rancour amongst Fine Gael ranks locally. Talking to one person, they put it with the one candidate strategy. You never see a bird fly with one wing, was how it was put to me by one party official. But I am told Fine Gael will select a second candidate here. That's coming from party top brass. We have to see who it is. A list of names has gone into Mount Street at the time of this recording, perhaps focusing around the likes of Councillor Bill Slattery or Pat Cooney. So let's see what emerges. And if Fine Gael do run two candidates, here's a stat for you, Rachel. It'll be the first time since 1969 that Fine Gael will run two candidates together who've never stood in a general election before, those being Michael Howard and Frank Taylor. So we'll have to see what shakes itself out there.
Michael Howard and Frank Taylor, who, if memory serves, both had daughters who went on to...
Yes, Madeline Taylor Quinn. And Madeline Taylor Quinn's son.
And Councillor Mary Howard.
Yes, and Madeline Taylor Quinn's son was one of those linked with a run for Fine Gael. Several candidates linked, but they haven't landed on somebody as of now quite yet.
Teresa, do you want to come in on this and go through some of the other candidates for us?
Well, if I might just start, I think this, with Fianna Fáil, this really is a crucial place for Fianna Fáil. And it's one of the places that we really need to be looking at. Fianna Fáil have been critiquing opinion polls of late, particularly since the local and European elections, and have consistently been saying that they're understating the popularity of the party, and that where they have good candidates on the ground, they're outperforming the polls. Now, Fianna Fáil had 1.7 of a quota here the last time around. They really should have taken the second seat. This time around, they have, you know, two very prominent national politicians and a third councillor on the ground. And so if Fianna Fáil don't take an additional seat here, it's going to be a kind of a gap in their overall electoral strategy. So I think that's, you know, there's an open seat here to a great extent, and I think the big thing is to look at that. I suppose in terms of who the other runners and riders are, I think that Roisin Garvey has an outside chance in this constituency. She's the Green Party representative, and the tide is against the Green Party. I mean, they're definitely going to get less seats, and she only got about 0.4 of a quota in 2020. But she's a senator now. She's the deputy leader of the Green Party, and she's one of the few Green Party public representatives that's kind of really taken it to the electorate in terms of defending the Green Party in rural Ireland. And she's had a couple of run-ins with Michael Healy-Ray in particular that have gone viral and done her no harm. So I mean, I think it's an outside shot, but I definitely think, you know, she's in the running for that kind of open last seat. There are a couple of independents, and I think it's worth saying that Clare is a really interesting constituency. You know, it has that kind of traditional Fianna Fáil heartland, but it's also a place where small parties and independents have done very well. You know, going back to, you know, the unexpected election of Mousavi Banji for the Labour Party, Dr. Michael Harty was elected in 2016. Michael McNamara topped the poll as an independent in 2020. So
James Breen.
You know, it has a long tradition of independence and small parties. So, you know, with that in mind, at the moment, Eddie Punch is probably the best known of the independent candidates. He's coming from the farming sector. He ran in the European Parliament elections. He got a reasonably respectable vote, about 20,000. He's probably kind of ahead of the fray at the moment. There are probably more to declare, but there is an open seat here, and I think their contest will really kind of break down into whether Fianna Fáil can take that seat, the Green Party, prominent independents. It's certainly an open contest. I think at this stage, Fine Gael probably aren't in the running for that last seat. Their candidate is going to be added late in the day. They already have a new candidate. And again, just kind of mapping it back into national trends, that comes back to this challenge that Fine Gael is going to face in a lot of places where it doesn't have incumbent standing. It might have the wind in its sails, but it has candidate complications on the ground, which mean that its kind of search for gains are a bit more circumscribed than might otherwise appear, taking just a national view.
Barry, a couple of significant candidates we haven't mentioned. We haven't mentioned the outgoing TD, Violet Anne Wynne, who was elected for Sinn Féin the last time, then became an independent. Nor have we mentioned the councillor who'll be Sinn Féin's candidate this time, Donna McGettigan from Shannon.
Yes, Violet Anne Wynne, almost 9,000 first preference votes the last time. She still has an office in Ennis. She's still highly active locally, but most local observers think she's very much up against it retaining her seat as an independent. Sinn Féin do have a great opportunity of a seat here with Donna McGettigan. She is a councillor, was re-elected there in June. She and Sinn Féin took 10% of the vote in 2019 in the local elections. They also came close in 2016. So in terms of maybe mapping where Sinn Féin are strong and not, their candidate on that at that stage, Nolene Moran, accrued 8% of the vote, wasn't far off. So there is a base Sinn Féin vote there. Sinn Féin are actually toying with adding a second candidate here in Tommy Guilfoyle in Ennis. He is quote unquote mad for road, I'm told.
He was elected, I think, to the council on the last day out.
That's right. And I think his father-in-law, the bomber Hanrahan, might have been a councillor going back many years as well. So Tommy Guilfoyle, he is looking to be added. It'll be interesting to see what Sinn Féin do. Roisin Garvey is actually coming up a lot, talking to people from all parties and local political observers based in Aina, of course, the deputy Green Party leader, said to be quite a good constituency worker. She has the profile, of course, her father, a former Fianna Fáil councillor, so she has the ground game as well. And of all the constituencies I've looked at, she's definitely been very much talked up as one of the major hopes of a Green gain in this election, perhaps given the openness or the weakness of the field at present. Eddie Punch, based in Cracklow, independent Ireland, very close to Cathal Crowe.
Down the south.
And he may have only accrued 3,000 votes out of Clare in the European elections. So it's hard to read a gauge on him. but it is usually a left-wing seat, isn't it, Rachel? And one of the seats here, you look at Michael McNamara for Labour, he still got a good vote there in 2016, going back to Musashi Vamji. So perhaps that could be the opening for the final seat, but it's very fiendishly difficult to call after maybe a gain for Fianna Fáil, Cathal Crowe retaining his seat and Leonora Carey retaining the Fine Gael Carey seat as well.
Teresa?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a seat here for Fianna Fáil, one for Fine Gael and one for Sinn Féin, and then a fairly open contest for that fourth seat, with perhaps Fianna Fáil being slightly having the edge there.
It's geography comes into it here as well. So from Loop Head all the way down to Ballyvaughan, there's only one contender with Rita McInerney at the moment. I know Roisin Garvey might be able to carve a bit of
that
out.
Yeah, if you're from Ina, wouldn't you kind of claim to be a bit west?
You would, yeah, I think so. So she might be able to get that. Now, Fine Gael are looking at their strategy here. One party strategist locally said they'd love to run three candidates and think they could get two. Fine Gael top brass think they could still get two here as well. But at the moment, it's a tall stretch. Numerous hurlers have been mentioned with running in this constituency, of course, the All-Ireland hurling champions, and even big names like Eoin Gallagher out in the West Clare as well have also been floated with a run for various parties. So the political weather vane in Clare is definitely going 90 at the moment anyway.
All right, listen, we'll leave it there for this one. Barry, I know you'll be back with us for an update after nominations close. Our thanks to Cormac Burke for all his research, to Ruth Kennington, who was on sound, and to our producer, Alistair McConnell. Remember to tune in to RTE Radio 1 on results weekend and across RTE Television and all our digital platforms for the full coverage of all 43 constituencies.
Know your constituency. The RTE Radio 1 guide to general election 2024.